Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Our growth chart series. This is our third week, technically, even though we've only covered the G. The word growth is an acronym that stands for grace, repentance, offering, worship, training, harvest. We did a foundational message 2 weeks ago, and then last week we talked about grace, and we talked about grace maybe in a different area than maybe you've thought of it before, because we so often limit grace to just the fact that grace is what allows us to be saved. But in the Bible, it actually talks about the manifold grace of God. And manifold means diverse, many, many different ways that grace can be in our life. And I talked with us last week about imparting grace with our words. Think about this. When you speak to people, you're either imparting grace or condemnation. You're either imparting healing or hurt into their life. And we want to use our words, as it says in Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, except for that which is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer, that unmerited favor, that even if they don't deserve you speaking nice to them, being kind to them, you do it anyways, because God has given us so much grace. So last week we covered that, and I hope that you're practicing that throughout this week and throughout your life. I want to be somebody that my speech is always with grace, seasoned with salt, that I know how to answer each one. That's my hope and prayer for you. But today we're going to talk about repentance. Everybody say, uh-oh. We're going to talk about repentance, but hopefully I can give you a new light or a new understanding on the word and the principle of repentance, because repentance follows grace in the growth chart, because without grace, there can be no repentance. And so it comes specifically after grace, because once we realize the grace of God that he has bestowed upon us and given to us, it leads us to the idea or the thought that I want to repent. In fact, the book of Romans says it's the kindness of God that draws a man unto repentance. It's not him wagging his finger at you and being mean to you and trying to force you. No, it's the kindness of God that draws a man and leads a man to repentance. And so repentance is not a buzzword. It has become in much of the American church today. People don't want to hear about repentance. They think that repentance is just something that you do one time when you get saved, or, you know, maybe when an evangelist comes in town and he starts, you know, ripping everybody up in the church for all the bad things they're doing. But repentance is not a harsh word. Repentance is not a mean word. Repentance is not something that we should be scared of. It's something that we should welcome in our life, because the book of Acts says, with repentance comes times of refreshing. And so when we repent in our life, we are welcoming and we are opening ourselves up to the refreshing flow of the Holy Spirit to come inside of our life. And so it's not something mean. And so many people think that repentance is like this word that means that when the pastor preaches on it, that it's a free pass for him to be mean and to be condescending and try to point out every sin that's in your life and everything that you're doing wrong, and you're not treating your wife right, and you're not leading your children correctly, and you're not reading the Bible enough, and you ought not to be drinking that, or you ought not to be smoking that. But that is such an immature way to look at repentance. That's not what I want to do today. God has called us to repent simply because of this. He loves us. He loves us too much to let us stay in our sin. So repentance is not something that God is saying from a place of being mean or harsh or rude. It's from a place of love. In fact, if you look at the story of Jonah, God sent Jonah to tell Nineveh to repent so that they could be saved, not because he wanted to destroy them. He sent Jonah, his prophet, and Jonah, he didn't understand the true meaning of repentance. He was wanting to see God call down fire from heaven and destroy the city, and he didn't understand that God loved the people of Nineveh as much as he loved Jonah, who was a prophet. And so when God is speaking repentance to the church, when God is speaking repentance to your heart, to your life, it's because he loves you and he wants what's best for you, and he wants to keep you from destruction, not push you towards destruction. But so often, preachers have preached repentance like if you don't repent, you're going to get pushed off a cliff. If you don't repent, you're going to hell. If you don't repent, and all of that is true, but I believe that a much better way to preach repentance is to say, if you go there, there's going to be harm. But if you come over here, God wants to prosper your life and bless your life and heal you and make you whole and deliver you. And he loves you too much to let you go to hell. Some people say, how could a loving God let people go to hell? The truth is that God doesn't let people go to hell. People choose to go to hell. That's what C.S. Lewis said. He said, no man goes to hell undeservedly or unwillingly. If you go to hell, it's because you chose hell over heaven. If you go to hell, it's because you chose sin over sanctification. If you go to hell, it's because you chose the devil over living with Jesus and you made the wrong choice. God doesn't send people to hell. People choose to go to hell because the Bible says in the book of Titus that the grace of God has appeared to all men. If you one day were all going to die and we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But know this, right now in this moment, the grace of God is being extended to you and giving you the opportunity to repent. So there's not going to be an excuse on that day to say, God sent me to hell. God hates me. God is mean. God has given you opportunity after opportunity because he loves you so much to draw you into repentance. It's the kindness of God that brings a man and draws a man to repentance. So we've got to change our mindset or our philosophy on repentance, because repentance should always be preached from a place of love and a desire to see people freed. That's my heart today as a pastor. I'm not here to harp on you. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to point out where you're wrong. I'm here to show you where to be right. I'm not here to put you down. I'm here to help you up. I want to show you that repentance is not something to be skirted or to be run away from. Oh, there's so many people that refuse to preach on repentance anymore. There's so many Christians that refuse to believe. There are people that literally think that once you get saved, you should never confess or repent again because you've already gotten saved. When I look at the Bible, I see so many people that messed up and God forgave them again and again and again because they continue to return their heart to him. They continue. The Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not just a past life of unrighteousness, but anything that I do now when I confess my sin to him. But I believe that repentance produces refreshment. That's what it says in the book of Acts. Through repentance, repent therefore, be converted, that times of refreshing may come in the Holy Spirit. So I believe that when we become people of repentance and we live in repentance, we live in refreshment. Repentance also produces the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Repentance also always precedes revival. And we want to see revival in this city. I want to see revival in your life. I want to see revival at your workplace. I want to see revival in this building. I want to see revival in this city. But every great revival, you go research. You go look at it. You go look at Azusa Street. You go look at Brownsville. You go look at the Welsh revival. Any great revival in Toronto, it always began with people repenting. Changing their heart, changing their mind, changing their purpose, and deciding we want God more than we want anything else. Great revivals always come with repentance. In fact, the scripture records this truth. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but there is one coming who is greater than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Do you realize that before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost could come, there had to be a man by the name of John the Baptist that would go into the highways and the byways and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Before Jesus baptized and he prayed over and he breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, his first sermon he ever preached was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He took it right out of John's playbook. Isn't it funny when we say something, somebody else said it's stealing, but when Jesus says it, he's just borrowing it, right? He didn't steal it from John, but he began to preach exactly what John preached because repentance always precedes revival and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I'm believing for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this region like we have never seen before, but it's going to happen not just when we preach repentance, but when we live in repentance. When we begin to change our heart and we begin to change our mind. You see, John the Baptist wasn't wasn't lying. Jesus, in fact, did come, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was poured out. But there had to be one to go before that was willing to be a little different. When everybody else was running this way, John was running the other way. And repentance is something that goes against the flow of our culture today. Not just in the body of Christ, but even outside the body of Christ. All this woke culture, all that is people are unwilling to accept repentance. If you make a mistake, they cancel you. You can say, "I'm sorry." You can make donations to organizations that, you know, maybe somebody said a slur towards another race or towards another, you know, orientation or whatever they say that it is. But if you say, "I'm sorry," that's not enough. No, it's not enough until they drive you down the toilet and you have no place in the world anymore. But that's not the culture of the kingdom of God. The culture of the kingdom of God is that the kindness of God draws people to repentance. And I just feel in my spirit that some of these people that have been canceled, they're going to see the light. They're going to realize that I gave you the better part of all my life and you canceled me. I'm going to switch camps. I'm going to go over to the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God says you can be made new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I believe that we're about to see celebrities getting saved because culture canceled them and God said, "I'm here for you." When they pushed you aside, they want to forget about you. We're about to see a great revival coming because of this cancel culture. Because God says, when you repent, it's all forgotten. It's all forgiven. You have a new hope. You have a new lease on life. But John the Baptist preached repentance to the people, and it prepared a way for the Lamb of God. That was the basis of his sermon, was always repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if we want to see Jesus in our community, if we want to see Jesus in this church, if you want to see Jesus in your house, repentance is always a good place to start. Repentance is always a good place to be, because when he preached about repentance, the Lamb of God came, who took away the sins of the world and baptized and left his Holy Spirit to baptize us in the Holy Ghost. But I believe that when we don't just listen to sermons on repentance, but we actually live in repentance. You see, here's the problem with some people in church today is we go to church and we hear sermons about stuff and we think that that makes it all better. That's like 1% of what actually needs to happen. You're given the word of God to be equipped, but the 99% is how you walk it out. So don't think that just because you come in here and, "Oh yeah, our church believes in repentance, man, and we believe in sanctification, and we believe in living holy, and we believe in living right." Listen, just because you go to a church that preaches the truth doesn't mean you're living in the truth. You need to examine yourself to make sure whether you're in the faith and ask God, "Is there anything that I need to repent of?" I ask the Lord on a daily basis, "God, reveal to me and show me, is there any sin that I have not yet confessed? Is there anything that I haven't yet repented of, that I haven't gotten under the blood? I need you to show me." Like the psalmist said, "Search me and know me, God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Show me, reveal to me, because I don't want anything that's going to hinder my relationship with you. I don't want anything that's going to block the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to have relationship with him." But we're going to preach on repentance until Jesus comes back. In fact, like Jesus's first sermon, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," it's still applicable today. It's still a good sermon right now. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words, best sermon you've ever heard in your entire life. Because what was he saying? He was saying, change your heart, change your mind, because the kingdom of God is not too far that you can't get there. That's really what he's saying. When he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but the problem is we get stuck on that repent word. Repent, why do I need to repent? Really, if you look at that word repent in the Greek, it doesn't just mean to change your mind or your purpose, but in this exact specific place where Jesus said repent, if you look it up, the definition, one of them is look again. What he's saying is look again. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to take a closer look and you need to realize that the kingdom of God is within reach for you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you've been with, no matter what you've been doing last week, if you repent, the kingdom of heaven is right there within reach. But when you don't repent, you keep yourself without being arm's reach from the kingdom of God. But when we are a people who repent, the kingdom of God is accessible to us. I love what we sang today. Your kingdom triumphs over even the darkest grave. I love with the song that Jeff sang. It says, I want to live in expectation of your kingdom breaking through. That's the kind of culture that we want to cultivate and have here at the Well Fort Payne, is that the kingdom of God, it's not just when we get to heaven, but he said to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And repentance is a gateway to get into the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus reiterated the words of John and said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In fact, if that was Jesus's first sermon, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do you know what Jesus's last words were on earth? Yes, it was go into all the world and make disciples. We know that one from Matthew 28. But according to Luke chapter 24, verse 46 and 47, there's more that Jesus said than what is recorded in the book of Matthew. Do you know what he said? He said, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So Jesus's first sermon is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus's last words are, it was necessary that I would die so that repentance and remission of sins could be preached to everybody in the entire world. And all in between, Jesus talks about repentance. He says, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call the sinner to repentance. He preached about it over and over again. But listen to the words that he uses. He says, it was necessary for the Christ to be delivered and to die and to be raised on the third day. But it doesn't stop there. It's also necessary that repentance must be preached. It's necessary that remission of sins must be preached. Listen. Jesus didn't say that preaching prosperity was a necessity. Yeah. Jesus didn't say that preaching a bigger boat and a bigger house and a bigger bank account was a necessity. He didn't say that preaching positive thinking and self-talk and help was necessary. He didn't say that preaching from the King James Bible was necessary. He said repentance and remission of sins is the necessity of anybody that's going to be a part of my kingdom. And we are going to preach repentance and remission of sins. I don't believe that there's anything that you've done that you cannot repent and be forgiven of. I believe that anything can be brought under the blood of Jesus Christ, because he said it's necessary that we preach repentance so that people can receive remission of sin. So until he comes back, this house is going to preach repentance and remission of sins. We're going to preach that I don't care where you were last night. If you came in here this morning and you repent, you're set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a, I'm going to work back into a good place with God and after a few weeks, then you'll be clean. No, one touch, one drop from the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from a lifetime of sin. When you get it under the blood, it's as if it never happened. We're going to preach repentance and remission of sins. But repentance is so much more than just saying I'm sorry. And we have, just like we've reduced grace to salvation, we've reduced repentance to a trip down the altar, which we really treat like a walk of shame, but really it should. We should, if somebody comes to the altar, I've said this before, I'll say it again, the Holy Spirit just brought it to my heart. There is no shame in coming to this altar. Not one bit of shame. This is the best place that you can possibly be, because it's not a walk of shame to come down here. Oh, who do you think they were with last night? What do you think they were doing? Well, one thing is you don't know why they were coming. In fact, in Jesus's time, when the Pharisees would begin to reason within, they didn't even have to say it out loud. They would begin to judge people within their hearts, and Jesus would say, what are you guys talking about over there? I'll tell you what you're talking about. And he would begin to read their mail and tell them their thoughts, and he was basically saying, leave these people alone. It was what we would refer to today as coming to the altar. As they were coming to Jesus, people were judging them and condemning them and looking down on them. Even when Mary broke the alabaster jar at the feet of Jesus, she'd been a prostitute, and people began to judge her. And Jesus said, don't you shame her. What she's done, she has anointed me for my burial. And what she has done will be preached about wherever the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. So you don't know what you're bringing precious to Jesus when you come to this altar. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. It's not the walk of shame. But repentance is so much more than coming to the altar and saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That's confession. Repentance, according to the Greek, I've said it a few times already, the definition is to change one's mind or purpose. A lot of preachers define it this way. It's walking this way and turning around and going the other way, doing a complete 180. So repentance is not saying I'm sorry. Repentance is how you walk out the confession that you made with your mouth. So I want to talk to you about the action of repentance, because I believe that repentance is an action word. The reason that we don't see the fulfillment of repentance is we think that it ends with crying in the altar, but it actually begins there, not ends there. Repentance begins in the altar. It doesn't end in the altar, right? Because once we confess our sin, he takes it away. The sin is no more. But the repentance is what happens when we get up and we walk out of those doors and we actually choose. I'm changing my mind. I'm setting my mind on things above and not on things of the earth. I'm changing my purpose. I'm living for him instead of living for me. I'm living for him instead of living for that addiction. I'm living for him instead of living for money. I'm living for him instead of living for my mom or my dad or my neighbor, what they're going to think about me. I'm changing my mind and my purpose. Repentance is about how you walk out the commitment that you've made. And I want to see you grow in 2022. I want to see you increase, become greater and greater. And I love you enough to tell you that you may have some areas in your life that you need to repent of, that you need to go, you know what? I need to change my mind in this area. I need to change my purpose in this area. The intent of my heart is not right in why I'm doing that. My motives are not right. And listen, bad fruit always comes from bad motives. So if you have wrong motives in your life, eventually you're going to have bad fruit. Do you know what Jesus said about branches that don't bear good fruit? He said, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, he cuts it off and he throws it into the fire. But any branch that is in me that bears fruit, he prunes. That can be repentance in our life. That we may be doing good in some areas, but there's some areas he needs to cut us back because he wants us to bear more fruit. And so we repent of things that are actually getting in the way of making us more productive for the kingdom of God. And so I want you to realize that there may be some areas in your life that you think, well, I'm not living in sin, but are there some areas you need to change your mind about some things? There's some areas that you need to change the purpose of why you're doing it. In fact, we've been using Ephesians chapter 4 as our base text for this, where Paul talks about and he says he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the working of the ministry. He talks about till we come to the unity of the fullness of the maturity of Christ so that we're not tossed to and fro. And we've been using this because also later in chapter 4 is when he says that we can impart grace to the hearer. Well, I want to also use Ephesians chapter 4 today as we talk about repentance, because Paul actually talks about repentance. He doesn't use the exact word, but if you look at the context in which he is saying, he is 100% talking about, in Ephesians chapter 4, talking about repentance. Because he says, let's pick up, and if you have your Bible, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. That was a long intro, wasn't it? Usually we go right into the scripture. That was a really long intro. You guys, somebody better, you know, call ahead and tell them to take the roast out so it doesn't burn, because we may be a little while. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm kidding. It won't take that long. I know a lot of you have Mother's Day plans. We are going to see my mom after this service today and wish her a happy Mother's Day. And listen, I just don't forget to call your mama today if you haven't already gotten in touch with her. You get in touch with her and thank her for who she is and what she's done for you. And listen, I just want to say this. Even if she was a bad mama, remember what Paul said. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth except for that which is necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. That word grace, again, means unmerited favor. Even if your mama doesn't deserve a happy Mother's Day, you give her one. You tell her, Mama, I love you and I'm so thankful for you. Because she may not always treated you right or done you right, but you're here because she had you. You could have been given away, aborted, or whatever. You're here because of your mother, and I believe that we should impart grace to those that hear, and we should show honor to our mothers today. Amen? All right, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's pick up in verse 15 for time. I'm not going to read the whole thing that we read, but I want you to see how this leads into what Paul is saying. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that's what I'm trying to do today, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. After he talks about the growth of the body, he launches into this. Listen to what Paul says in verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He's talking about repentance. Because remember, to repent means to change your mind or your purpose. It means to go the other way. He's saying you were living like Gentiles. You were living like unsaved people. It's time to turn around and go the other direction. Okay? That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's pray together today. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that as we look at these verses today, that you would help me to unpack them with the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help each and every one of us to respond to the kindness of God and to change our mind or to change our purpose in areas where you want to shift some things in our life. God, thank you for your grace, which leads us into repentance. And I thank you that repentance brings refreshing and revival, and it brings renewal. And I pray that you would do that work in people's lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul is instructing the people of God in accordance to repentance. He's saying, no longer. And he says, I testify in God. And anytime in the Bible that someone says they testify in God, what they're saying is, I believe this to be absolutely true because God cannot lie. And I'm allowing God to hold me accountable for what I'm about to say. And he says, I want to say to you that you should no longer walk in the paths that the Gentiles are walking in. But what he's saying is, don't go the way of the world. Go the way of the kingdom. You need to repent. You need to turn away from. That's another translation or another definition of the word to repent, is to turn away from and to turn towards something. And so he's saying you used to walk like the Gentiles used to walk. The Gentiles always in scripture represent to us today, because most all of us are Gentiles. We weren't born Jewish or Israeli. We don't have that blood flowing in our veins. Most of us are just a melting pot over here, right? We got a little Irish and a little Scottish and a little bit of Scandinavian. Although Tim did tell me he has 1% Hebrew in him. So he's our resident Hebrew. But most of us, we are in the natural Gentiles. But when you read the word Gentiles in the Bible, it's not talking about natural Gentiles. It's talking about spiritual Gentiles. It's talking about people who haven't been renewed, sanctified, saved, and brought into the kingdom of God. And he's saying those of you who have been equipped by the apostle and the pastor and the teacher, and you're walking in unity and you're working together for the growth of the body, make sure that you're not walking like the world is walking. Make sure that you're walking in the ways of the kingdom, in the pathways that Jesus blazed a trail for us. And he was our chief example, and he showed us what to do. And you have to remember, the word repent in its truest form means to change your mind or your purpose. And the first thing that Paul talks about is that we should not walk as the Gentiles walk. And then he begins to describe the way that they walk. And it makes me think about when David said in Psalm chapter 1, he said, blessed, happy, favored is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he goes on to say, he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, who bears forth fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But it all starts in the path in which you walk. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. And Paul is saying, don't walk the way the Gentiles walk, but walk a different way. Here's how the Gentiles walk. And anything that he says that they do, we should do the exact opposite. So he says, they walk in the futility of their mind. Do you know what the word futility means? It means vain. It means purposeless. It means empty. It means ineffective, instable, aimless, due to lacking purpose or any meaningful end. So he's saying the Gentiles, this is how they live their life. They live it aimless. There's no purpose. There's no goal. There's no meaningful end. There's no aim of this is who I am and this is who I'm supposed to be. They're just walking around aimlessly. And he's saying, I want you to change your mind and your purpose. And I want to encourage you to think on purpose. Think with purpose that God has saved me, not just so that I don't go to hell, but he saved me because he wants to use me right here to bring other people to repentance, to bring other people into the kingdom of God. And so I'm not going to think the way that they think. I'm going to have purpose and intent in my thoughts. I'm going to set my mind on the word of God. I'm going to think about the ways of God and the word of God, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's true, whatever's praiseworthy, whatever's a good report. I'm going to meditate and think on these things. I'm not going to walk in the way of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but I'm going to set my delight on the law of the Lord. I'm going to change my mind so that I can change my purpose. Because when you change the way that you think, you change the way that you live. Some of y'all, your car's always breaking down and you're always frustrated and you're always mad and everything's always going wrong and everything is an inconvenience and this person's against you and that isn't working out and you can't get this job and you can't get ahead in life. But I'm telling you today, if you will repent, if you'll change your mind and you'll start thinking about not like the Gentiles think, they're worried about what they're going to eat and what they're going to drink and what they're going to wear. But that's what Jesus told us. He said, don't think like the Gentiles think, the unbeliever thinks. They're worried about all that stuff. Don't you know your Father who is in heaven, he will clothe you. If he can clothe the lilies of the field and if he can take care of the birds of the air, how much more will your Father who is in heaven take care of you? Gas might be $4.27, but that ain't nothing to God. If you set your mind on him, he will make sure that you have everything that you need. Change your mind and stop thinking about problems and start thinking about the promises of God. Start to think a new way. Don't think aimlessly. Don't think purposeless. Don't think in ineffectiveness. Begin to think, I believe and I know that if I repent and I change my mind and I set my mind on things above, God is going to make me effective in the kingdom of God. He's going to give me a purpose. He knows the plans that he has for me, thoughts to do me not harm but good, to give me hope and an expected end. I'm going to change the way that I think so that I can change the way that I live. But Jesus said, when he told us, he said, all the Gentiles, they're worried about what they're going to eat. They're worried about what they're going to drink. They're worried about what they're going to wear. He said, these things the Gentiles seek after. He said, but you, here's what you do. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you seek clothes and money and food and houses, you'll end up with never having enough. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things will start coming after you. All those things will start chasing you down and coming after you, and you don't have to go after them. So Paul's saying, don't walk with a purposeless mind. Don't walk not having any purpose in your thoughts. You need to repent. You need to change your mind or your purpose and decide, I'm going to think on purpose so that I can live with purpose. So he says, don't walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. And it's important to note that he says the rest of the Gentiles, because those that were in Ephesus were literally Gentiles of birth, of blood, but they'd been grafted in through Jesus Christ. He says, don't walk like them. You may be a Gentile in your body, but you're a Jew in your spirit. You've been saved. You've been redeemed. He says, so don't walk like they walk in the futility of their mind. They have their understanding darkened. I want to speak to you today about living with understanding. Realizing that when we repent, when we change our mind and our purpose, all of a sudden understanding comes from God. Things that were closed and dark now become manifested by the light. Because the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son will cleanse us from all sin. I think we've misunderstood that passage for so long. We say it like this. We say, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son will cleanse us from all sin. That's not what it says. He's actually saying that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son will cleanse us from all sin. So when we walk with Jesus, we're walking in the light. And when you walk in the light, things are exposed and you can see them for what they really are. When you're walking down the path of life and something comes your way and it looks like a good opportunity, but it's really going to leave you broke and desperate and hurting, when it's exposed by the light, you can see it for what it really is instead of seeing it for something that's too good to be true. When you're walking down the road and something looks like it's in a package that's just going to bring suffering and pain, God, because of his light, he manifests it and you see, if I embrace the suffering, I'll walk in the glory. And so you can see things for what they really are. Instead of having your understanding darkened, your understanding is enlightened. This is what happens when we repent. We have purpose in our thoughts, we have purpose in our thinking, and we are walking with our understanding enlightened, meaning we can see things for what they really are. Then he says, they're alienated from life with God. If you feel far from God ever in your life, not just right now in this moment, your first step is always repentance. If you ever feel, because this is what he's saying, the Gentiles, the way they walk, they are alienated from life with God. They're not close to him. But what he's in essence saying is anything he says they do, he's saying we shouldn't do or we shouldn't be. So he's saying, I don't want you alienated from God. I want you close with him. So anytime that you're like wondering, where is God? What's happening? I've always come to find out that anytime we feel far from God, it wasn't him that moved. It was us. Which means we need to change our mind, we need to change our purpose, we need to pivot, and we need to go back towards God. And if you take the first step, trust me, he will come running back to us. He showed us that in the parable of the prodigal son. Thank you, babe. I needed that. A prodigal wasn't coming to me. So he says, being alienated from life with God because of the ignorance that is within them. Repentance makes you wiser. When you put off the thoughts of ignorance, you now have the access to the thoughts of the Spirit, thoughts of wisdom. He says, according to the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Listen, he also, when Paul is saying this, you have to remember that in Ephesians chapter 1, he prayed for these people. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And he begins to pray that they would have the spirit of wisdom and that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened and that they would know the hope of their calling. Now in chapter 4, he's teaching them how to walk out what it is that he's been praying for them about. And so this is the will of God, but repentance is what unlocks these things to us. When we change our mind and we go, you know what? I'm not going to think ignorantly anymore. I'm going to think with purpose. I'm going to think with intelligence. I'm going to think through the will of God. I'm going to look at my life through the lens of his word, and I'm not going to think that way. I'm going to change the way that I think. I'm going to turn away and turn towards him. So he says that you would not walk in ignorance because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, the work of uncleanness. But you have not so learned Christ. Let's just skip down to verse 23. He says, I'm sorry, 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of what? Your mind. It all comes back to the mind. Repentance brings revival, it brings refreshment, but it also brings renewal. There are some things in your life that have grown dead, and he's saying you need to put off the old man, which grows corrupt. One of the definitions of that word corrupt is rotten or decaying, which is what happens when something is dead. And he's saying you need to put off those dead thoughts, those wrong things. You need to be renewed in your mind, because with repentance comes renewal. He gives you a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of being, a new way of who he has called you to be. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you may put on the new man. I feel like there's some people here today that need to put off the old man and put on the new man. Just like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man, anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. You put off that old man and all things become new. You can become a new person in Christ today. I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know where you've been, who you are, but I know this. If you make the decision today, I'm changing my mind. I'm walking out of this room a new man. I'm walking out of this place with a renewed vision, with renewed purpose, with a different type of thinking, with Jesus Christ at the helm of my heart. You can walk out of here through repentance, putting off the old person that is leading you to a life of destruction and corruption, and you can put on the new man. And I don't care if you've been saved for 20 years or you've never even confessed Jesus, you today can walk out of here a new person. When we repent, he makes all things new. In the book of 2 Peter, he said, now listen, this is why I love knowing who wrote things or who said things. Peter said, he would that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Why does it matter that Peter wrote that? Because Peter probably knew Jesus better than anybody. And he learned one thing about the heart of Jesus. He doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. He wants everybody to walk in repentance, to change their mind, to change their purpose, to put off the old and to put on the new. And I've realized that repentance brings purpose in your life. That's why he said, don't walk in futility of your mind. Walk in purposefulness. And if you feel like you're lacking purpose today, there's probably some things that you need to change in your mind and in the way that you're living your life. And that, in a nutshell, is repentance. Yeah. Confession is saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is making a change. Deciding, I'm living on purpose for a purpose. And that purpose is not me. It's not making more money. It's not being happier. That purpose is whatever he wants and whatever he has. I'm putting off the old and I'm putting on the new. Whatever he wants for my life, that's how I want to live. I want to be a person who lives in repentance. Go ahead and stand to your feet with me today. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you today. If there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus, I'd be amiss, especially when talking about how Jesus said that we're going to preach repentance and remission of sins until for the rest of, that's what he said is necessary to preach. I'd be amiss if I didn't give you the opportunity to both repent and confess of your sins and have them be removed from your life. So with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I don't want to miss this opportunity, and really more than anything, I don't want you to miss this opportunity. Is there anyone here that would say, I have sins that I need to repent of and I need to confess? Would you just lift your hand? I can't do it for you. Only Jesus can do it for you. I just want to pray with you today. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Come on. Don't be shy. Don't be nervous. In fact, the book of 1 John says, if anyone says that they don't have sin, they're a liar. And so my hand's up because I don't want to be found a liar. I know there's things, I'm sure, that I need Jesus to change my thought pattern on, change my intent, my purpose, my motive on. So Father, right now I pray for the body of Christ. Lord, I even pray for those that, as the word said, they're alienated from God. I pray for those that they feel out of place in church. They feel out of place when the things of God are being communicated, spoken, and preached. And I pray that today, by your kindness, you would draw them into repentance, God. That they would feel the grace. It's an amazing thing when conviction hits, because it's like you feel bad and you feel good all at the same time. Because you realize what you're doing is wrong, but you realize there's an opportunity to be right. And so, Lord, I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit to be working in our lives, not just right now, but throughout the week. And Lord, I pray for those that raise their hand today to say that they have unrepented sin in their life. Lord, I can't forgive them. They're not confessing to me, but they're acknowledging before you. And I plead the blood of Jesus that brings remission of sins, that you said that we should preach repentance and remission of sins because you are faithful and you will forgive us. And I pray, Lord, that you would forgive and that you would heal. And what I want to do right now is maybe you just have an urging in your heart, or you feel like, I just need to talk with God. I want you to know the altar's open right now. And I want to ask anybody that you're saying, I want to change my mind and I want to change my purpose. I'm asking you to join me in the altar today. Anybody in the house that would say, you know what? I want to there's some areas that I need to change my thinking in. I need to think with purpose instead of being aimless. I need to think effectively instead of ineffectively. There's some places and some purposes within my heart. You can just come and join in the altar. Father, I thank you that you give us the ability to live with purpose for purpose, God. In any area of our life that is wrong or is improper, you give us the grace to fix it and to redeem it. I thank you that renewal comes and purpose comes and refreshing comes through repentance today, God. And I pray for the blindness of our hearts and the areas that we don't see what it is that you're trying to do. I pray that you would forgive us and that you would cleanse us, God. Change our minds, change our hearts, God. We're simply saying, we want to be more like you. We want to walk in your plan. We want to walk in the purpose that you have for us. So God, I'm believing and I'm hoping that you, and I'm knowing that you will help us walk through this life and be effective in the kingdom of God. But Lord, as your word says that, and we know that repentance brings refreshment. Let, as we repent today, let it be refreshing in our lives, and let us be like a refreshing drink of water in the lives of others, Lord. I thank you for the working of the Holy Spirit, and I thank you for the moving of the waters and what you're doing in this house and what you're doing in this community, God. And we just say that we love you, and we thank you that we have the opportunity to repent and to make things right. We love you today. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Would you just lift your hands and receive this blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you. And may you walk with renewed vision and purpose in your life, walking circumspectly, redeeming the time, knowing that the days are evil. I speak that blessing over you and your family today in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone would like prayer today, Pastor Madison and I will be down front. We'd love to pray with you for anything that you have going on in your life. Or if you're saying, I need to get saved. I need a breakthrough. I need a miracle. We'll be down here to pray with you. Happy Mother's Day. We love all y'all. Have a blessed week.